Brother Asbury Friday, they were able to take out the feeding tube and he was able to stand and eating normal food. So that's an answer to prayer. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to take the message from verse 24. Just go to the end, the very end of the verse, back up three words, and there's a three-word phrase, Jesus, our Lord. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. Jesus, our Lord. Three words. Oh, what words they are. Throughout the New Testament, we read such phrases as the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, Christ Jesus our Lord. But only twice do we read these words, Jesus, our Lord. Here and in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Jesus, our Lord. There's something very special about those words. Individually, we ought to be able to truly say, Jesus, my Lord. Collectively, we ought to be able to say, Jesus, our Lord. They are words that declare his position. He is the owner. Therefore, we belong to him. He is the master. He is the ruler. We are the subjects. Jesus, our Lord. These are words that connect us to him. These are words that speak of a relationship with him. They are words that identify us with him. Jesus, our Lord. In those words, there is reverence. There is love. There's an attraction for him. In those words, there is humble submission. There is a willingness to stoop for him. A desire to be controlled and dominated by him. And there is also a sensitivity toward him. As Paul penned those words, Jesus, our Lord. No doubt he did so bowing in heart to him. They are words of humble gratefulness. They are a declaration that he is the priority of our life. In those three words is a statement of resolve, a statement of purpose and passion for him. Jesus, our Lord. Those are words that mean that we have a personal interest in him. They are words that speak of the fact that we are separated unto him, and have a commitment to him, a commitment to follow, a commitment to serve. Jesus, our Lord. In those words is a statement that he is the emphasis, that he is the motive, He is the aim. He is the passion for living life. Jesus, our Lord. Those are words of confidence in Him. Words of dependence upon Him. Words that speak of the fact that we're willing to lean upon Him and cleave to Him. Jesus our Lord. In those words is a life that stands opposed to the superficial, the shallow, the indifferent, the carefree attitude that so many have in serving the Lord. So individually and collectively, we ought to be able to say, Jesus, our Lord. We ought to be able to say that without the slightest hesitation, without any bashfulness, without any timidness. Jesus, our Lord. Now you'll notice there are no limitations or restrictions around those words. It is simply Jesus, our Lord. Covers all times. Covers all places. Covers all aspects of our life. Covers all circumstances and situations of our life. Jesus, our Lord. So again, that's what we want to speak upon this morning. We want to consider that statement in relation to several things. Jesus, our Lord. Consider the statement in relation to who He is. He's Jesus. Jesus. He's prophesied of. He's referred to. He's typified throughout the Old Testament. And He has many titles throughout the Word of God. But His name is Jesus. That's not a title. That's His name. Jesus. Lord is a title. Christ is a title. But His name is Jesus. A chosen name of God. Again, God's message to Joseph was, Thou shalt call His name Jesus. For or because He shall save His people from their sins. That's His name. It is a name that describes His character, His being. A name that describes His attributes, His power. His power to save. His purpose is to save His people. So the name is a name that states God's promise to save. It's a name that is a revelation of God's provision and remedy for sinful man. His name is Jesus. And it is a name, Hebrews 1 verse 4, that is more excellent than any of the angels. That is, it is an exceptional name. It is a marvelous name. It's a wonderful name. Paul states in Philippians 2 and verse 9 that the name of Jesus is a name that is above every name. It's a name that is superior to all other names. It's a name that goes beyond all other names. It is a name that's more than all other names. It's a name that exceeds all other names. It's a preeminent name. His name is Jesus. It is the most influential of all names. It is a name that has had worldwide effect, worldwide impact. The name Jesus has had some sort of impact upon all races of people. Throughout history, emperors have tried to destroy that name. Governments and movements of various kinds have tried to remove the name from the face of the earth. And though many philosophies have tried to stamp out that name, Jesus, it still remains the most influential of all names. Never has there been a name that has stirred more passion in the hearts of people than the name of Jesus. The very mention of the name in some stirs the passion of love, while in others, fierce hatred. In some, the very mention of the name stirs the passion of joy and thanksgiving, while in others it stirs anger and wrath. But the truth is, the name Jesus has brought more comfort, more cheer, more hope into the world than any other name. Put more smiles on faces than any other name. It has been the inspiration of more songs than any other, more poems and writings than any other. Truly, the name Jesus is the most influential and precious of names. No one has altered or reshape the course of man like this one named Jesus. No individual or anything has brought more lasting and drastic change than this one named Jesus. It is a name that impacts and alters and transforms. It is a transforming name. No other name has made more of a difference in time and eternity than the name of Jesus. So, in light of this, those three words, Jesus our Lord, ought to grip our hearts. His name is Jesus. And he's my Lord. Consider who he is. We see his name. He's Jesus. He's God. He's God. That simply means he's everything that God is. Is God infinite? So is Jesus. Is God eternal? So is Jesus. Is God almighty? So is Jesus. Is God gracious and merciful? So is Jesus. He's everything that God is. Is God sovereign? Is God greater than all? So is Jesus. He's greater than any problem. He's greater than any trial, any difficulty, any need. Greater than any river you might ever have to cross. Greater than any mountain you might have to climb. Greater than any giant you might have to face. His name is Jesus. And he is God. And he is greater than any pressure and any weight that you may have to bear. He's greater than any heartache or weariness you may feel. And his name is Jesus. And just like God, he is unalterably fixed in his being. He's everywhere the same. Jesus. And because of who he is, there is stability. There is joy, there is strength, there is satisfaction, there is fulfillment, there is assurance in this one named Jesus. Jesus our Lord ought to grip our hearts, causing us to humbly and submissively bow to him. So we consider that phrase in the light of who he is. Consider the phrase or that statement in relation to his coming to earth. Jesus, our Lord. Go back to the wonderful statement found in Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And hear and say those words. He's Jesus. And he is our Lord. Go back to that glorious evening when the shepherds abiding in the field heard the angel announce, I bring thee good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. And what's his name? Jesus. And he's our Lord. You hear the angelic host burst forth, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Why are they praising God? Because this one named Jesus has come from the glory of heaven to a world that does not know him. Come from the adorations of heaven to the curse of this earth. His name is Jesus, and he is our Lord. He didn't just come, he came for me. And in light of the fact that he came for you, you ought to be able to say, and those words ought to grip your heart, Jesus, our Lord. And may I say, you do not make him Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Consider this statement in relation to his ministry on earth. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus showing up in dire places. Places of impossibilities. Places of great wretchedness. Coming into the desperate lives of men, women, and children of a variety of background and showing them pity and care and tenderness and kindness. We see Jesus giving strength to crippled legs. We see Jesus causing shriveled limbs to flourish. And we see Jesus giving movement to paralysis and sight to blind eyes and hearing to deaf ears and words of speech to speechless mouths. And we see him cleansing defiled lepers and bringing relief to the fevered and plagued. Oh, how we ought to bow before him, saying, Jesus, our Lord. We watch him in places of death. And he brings about life. In places of darkness. And he brings about light. In places of unrighteousness. Bringing about righteousness. Places of spiritual thirst. Bringing refreshment. And on we go. But all through the Gospels, we see this one named Jesus doing what only He can do. We see Him in the midst of gloom, bringing about deliverance, bringing about transformation, bringing about satisfaction and peace and assurance and optimism and joy that only He can do. We see Jesus time and time again, revealing that He is above and beyond dire and desperate circumstances. And oh, how marvelous those words. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Consider that statement in relation to what He has done for us. Jesus was sent and came for me. And He fully knew and understood who I was. And He fully knew and understood the sin debt that He would pay for me. And we hear Him say, He came to give His life a ransom. We hear Him say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. And don't just think upon that in a general perspective, but think upon it as individual. He came to give His life for me. And we hear Him say, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus came to lay down His life for me. With that in mind, we see Him in a place called Golgotha. It's a terrible place. It's a place where criminals would meet their gruesome fate. It was a place of punishment. A designated place of suffering and torture, misery, a place of sorrow. It is a place of condemnation, a place of curse, a place of death, a place of indignity, a place of disgrace. And there is Jesus in this place. Jesus, the Holy One. Jesus, the pure and perfect one. Jesus, the sinless one. The one who has no fault. Jesus, the innocent one. And He's in this place called Golgotha. The place where the most wicked and filthy and vile and despicable and repulsive of mankind would be brought. And I see Jesus in the place where the most dishonest and violent of men have been brought. And He's there voluntarily. He is there willingly. And He's being treated as if He were the worst criminal that ever lived. And He's dying the death of the worst of criminals. Why? Because our sins were upon Him. And all their vileness and all their guilt. And He bore all the guilt and He bore all the debt of those sins. And the entire load was put upon Him. And God, seeing my sin upon this one named Jesus, poured down His wrath upon Him. And now I am crucified with Christ. He paid my sin debt that I could not pay. And in light of such, we fall down before Him with these words gripping our hearts, Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Next, we see the lifeless and mangled body of this one named Jesus wrapped in grave clothes, put in a tomb. And after 3 days and three nights, we hear those wonderful words, He's not here. He is risen, as He said. He came forth out of the tomb. He came forth out of the tomb victorious, as the conqueror over Satan, the world, sin, death, and the grave. And now I am risen with Christ. I was crucified with Christ. I am risen with Christ. In light of such, we ought to humbly and submissively and gratefully, with hearts filled with praise, say, Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Next, we see Jesus received up into glory, where He now sits at the right hand of God for me. And here I am in a world filled with difficulties and trials and battles and obstacles and burden. And in the midst of all that is crumbling, Jesus, my Savior, the completely sufficient, absolutely dependent and able one, my sustenance, my shepherd, my rock, my fortress, my friend, sits at the right hand of God for me. He sits there as the honored one for me. He sits there as the accomplisher of His work for me. He sits there as the conqueror over His foes for me. He sits there as the intercessor pleading for me and as the channel of blessing for me. And when we think of such, we bow. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Consider fact that we were estranged from God. We were without God. We were without Christ, living our lives under the dominion of Satan and in the realm and under the power of darkness. And we were lovers of darkness, and we were deceived, and we were ignorant. And we were blind, and our hearts were hardened, and we were at enmity with God, and we were criminals against God, striving against God, living in absolute defiance of God, rejecting God, resisting God. We were unrighteous, we were ungodly, we were unprofitable, we were bankrupt, we were lost. And we were fleeing from God. We were trying our best to stay out of the way of God. And there we were, helplessly trapped under the weight of sin, sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the destruction of sin, stuck in the contamination and the foulness of sin, so securely held by the shackles that we could not possibly escape. Our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being was bound in the power of sin, so much so that we could not understand our desperate need. We could not in any way please God. And we could not and we would not come to God for what we so desperately needed. We were thoroughly guilty before God. And we were under the just condemnation of God. We had no merit to plead. We were headed for and deserving of eternal destruction. We were in a desperate situation. But enter Jesus. The only one who has the power to get past those iron gates. The only one who has the power to get past Satan's guards and to overcome Satan's guards. And he came where we were. And he came with the righteousness and the cleansing, the forgiveness and the pardon and the reconciliation and the acceptance that we so desperately needed. He came into our dungeon. He came into our prison. And the holding and binding power of sin was broken. And we were brought out from the crushing weight of sin and death. And we were brought out of the depths of unrighteousness. Out of the depths of alienation. Out of the depths of bankruptcy and condemnation. Brought out of the filth. And miraculously delivered from the destruction of sin and the curse of the law. We were saved. And those words ought to grip our hearts. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. It is heresy. The teaching today is you receive him as Savior and we hope one day you make him as Lord. Let me tell you something. The Lord saves your soul. He is your Lord. And if you try to separate the two, you need to be saved. It's as simple as that. Jesus, our Lord. And I've heard people say, I was saved 20 years ago, but just 2 years ago I made him my Lord. I don't think so. I don't think so. Jesus, our Lord. Oh, may we humbly, submissively, gratefully, and lovingly bow before him, saying, Jesus, my Lord. That makes everything easier in life. Everything's easier in life when Jesus is your Lord. Decisions aren't as difficult. Jesus, our Lord. And this world is a mess. And we thank God for the times when we can come in here and separate ourselves from what's out there. But we know we can't stay in here. We got to walk out those doors. But we do so, knowing that we are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, that loved us. So all today, Jesus, our Lord. Oh, how we ought to believe him. He's our Lord. How we ought to seek him. in all things. Cast all upon Him. Draw from Him. Press toward Him. Reach for Him. With these words gripping our hearts, Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, think upon that name. Dwell upon it. Meditate upon it. Jesus. Jesus. And He's our Lord. That gives purpose in my life. That gives purpose in your life. That gives meaning to our life. This fixes a lot of things. Jesus, our Lord. We need to get up in the morning saying, Jesus, my Lord. We need to realize it throughout the day. Jesus, my Lord. Go to bed in the evening. Jesus, my Lord. And after you do that for a while, and that is your habit, you just wake up thinking that, Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Lord, what would you have me to do today? Jesus, my Lord, I need your help this day. Do you know Him today? That's the question. Do you know this one named Jesus? Now, most people that are sitting here, you've heard that name all your life. You've been taught many wonderful truths regarding that name. Those are all good things. There's nothing bad with any of that. But I'm not asking you today if you know about Jesus. Just about everybody here does. But do you know Him? Do you know Him? Has there been a time and place where He came to you and saved your soul and made a difference in your life? Do you know Him? Can you say today, He's my Lord? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.